Amen. It is good to be in the Lord's house. If you have your Bibles, we'd ask that you turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 17. Exodus, chapter 17. While you're turning there, let everybody know my wife is fine. I was beginning to think y'all cared more for her than me because everybody asked about Donna. But she's alive and well. Our adopted daughter Anna's been sick, and we're unable to leave her unattended now. But Lord willing, she'll be back with us next year, and we'll get to enjoy the conference again. But you pray for Donna and Anna as well. We're trying to be wise and make some long-term plans for Anna, and we need the wisdom of the Lord in that. So pray for her as well. Pray for the church at Dover. Most of you know a month from now we'll be having our missions conference at Dover, and we invite each and every one of you that can and will would like to come down. We have accommodations. The church will be able to provide rooms this year, so we'd love for you to come. Have several missionaries that's going to be there. Brother Gordon Downs is here, and he's going to be preaching for me, and I know the Lord will really bless. So you come and you enjoy it. We're going to have some Skype chats. Having to use the computer lingo that I've learned from my children, with two missionaries on the field, so that'll be interesting for the people. We'll get to talk to them, see what's going on presently, and so I think it'll be a real blessing to you, and we'd love to have you as our guest. If you have your Bibles, then Exodus chapter 17, and we're going to begin reading in the very first verse. We do thank the church for their hospitality. It's always good to be here. Had to watch my sugar because the food was so good, but as far as I know, I'm in good shape, and we thank you for the room as well. Exodus 17 in the very first verse. Exodus 17 in the very first verse, the Bible says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin, after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and they pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, Why do you chide with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is it that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto these people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, take it in thy hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee, and I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, Is the Lord among us or not? I'd like to preach this morning, or this evening, the Lord being my helper, on the very thought, is the Lord among us or not? Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the many blessings that you give us every day. Lord, we thank you for this church and what she stood for down through the years. Lord, we thank you for her pastor. Lord, we pray this evening, Lord, that you'd put every thought outside our hearts, Lord, except what's on you, Lord. We pray that we would be able to preach according to your mercy and grace, Lord, that we might present things as you have given them as to us, Lord. We pray now that you would watch over this people, Lord, and that you would bless us according to your mercy and grace. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, we have a time in the children of Israel which they would repeat and repeat, and that was a lack of dependence on God. And we have that today. More and more people depend less and less on God. And it brought them to the conclusion, or the apparent conclusion, with the question, is God with us or not? And I dare say today that is not a question that we often repeat, but sometimes it is a good question. Now, they did it out of strife, and let me say this from the beginning, he was with them. There's no match to this answer. He absolutely was still with them, but they could not see it. But we live in a day and age today where that's a fair question. We live in a day and age where our churches, listen, are down to nothing. And I don't mean in number, I mean in power. The devil is on us in a great way today, and so it's time to say, well, is he with us or not? Now, you might say, well, Brother Larry, he's going to be with his churches, yes. But can the candlestick not be removed? Was that not his threat to Ephesus? Say, listen, you've left your first love. And they were at risk of losing their candle or losing their light. And so, yes, a church can get to that point. Sadly enough, I've seen it. I've seen churches dry up and go away. And you know the sad part? They might still have the nicest building in town. They might have the most people going there that you can imagine. But God is not with them. And we find that again and again today. Now, go back to the first verse, and I want to notice a few things. The Bible says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin. Now, this was a time, really, of victory for the people of Israel. They had won the victory, or God had given them the victory, and they had escaped Pharaoh, and they were on the other side now. They were on the other side of the sea, and then they began to wander in the wilderness of Sin. Listen, this is a type of a saved individual. Listen, the problem was behind them, but listen, sin is ever before us. Listen, just because you're saved don't make you exempt from sin. If it does, you're a lot different than me. Every day, seemingly, sin presents itself in a new way and tempts me in a way that it didn't tempt me yesterday. And that's the nature of man. But I want you to see, the blessed part was, that was behind them too. Think about those moments in your life when, praise be to God, you were able to set this world aside just for a moment and commune with the person of God from His Word and from His Spirit and enjoy the things of God. Even if it was just a moment, they were there. The wilderness of sin was behind them. But notice what happens. After their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, they pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Now listen, they've got the victory. They've left the wilderness of sin. They're where God wants them to be, but there's no water to drink. Now, we being the type of people we are and the brand of flesh we are, listen, every service we just want a high glory time. And if it's not, we get thirsty. If we don't hear from God for a while, we begin to thirst. But listen, I want you to mark this. They were where they were supposed to be. You know what that says to me? Not every service is going to be a high time. Not every service is going to be just a glory hallelujah, let's walk the aisle. Not every instance is going to be that way. And so we see they were in the will of God, but they weren't exactly hearing from God. It was a dry time. And if you haven't experienced them yet, you will. Verse 2, wherefore the people did chide with Moses. Now, is that not God's people? Yeah. We have a few dry services. It's going to be old Brother Dan's fault. I wonder what he's done now. Yeah. Is that not the thought?
That's right.
Now, many of the people's pastor, you know, it can't be the church, so apparently the pastor's done something wrong.
Yeah.
If you don't hear from God. So they began to chide with Moses. Now, myself not being that intelligent on the English language, as someone else has already pointed out, I wasn't sure what chide meant. And so I looked it up, and I believe this was the best definition in regards to what they were saying to Moses. To blame, to reproach, to show negligence. So they were where God would have them to be, but they chided Moses and say, we're not where we need to be. The numbers are not here. We don't have the nicest building. We don't have the best thing. Something is wrong. They began to chide. Why? Because they equated physical things with the spiritual. They equated the physical blessings of God with spiritual. And you know what? They cannot be intertwined. It can't be both. And so we have to begin to learn to look. The Bible says to compare spiritual unto spiritual. And so we see that they began to chide with their leader. Notice what they said, their command. Give us water that we may drink. You know, I submit this to you. They were worried more about the physical than they were the spiritual. They weren't worried about the inward man. And so then we see that he says, and Moses said, why do you chide with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? Now, if we'd all be honest, every one of us has done that, done this back in the past, and got home and said, you know, I couldn't follow what old brother so-and-so was saying, could you? I never really got that, did you? I wonder what's wrong with him. We've all thought that. If we haven't said it, I just have the courage enough to say, yeah, I went home with some of those thoughts myself. And the Bible turns around and says, why do you tempt the Lord? It wasn't just with Moses, the fact they were speaking again. He says, you're tempting the Lord. You know, when you get a message, it ain't one of those walk the pews, thank you, Lord, and you say, well, I sure didn't like that. Don't blame Brother Dan, it's the Lord. That's who you have your finger pointed at. And so we find then that he turns them away at least momentarily with this. You know what? When a church member comes to me or someone visiting saying, well, why did you say this and this and this? If I can back it up with the Bible, what I found for a while at least, they'll leave you alone. But notice, just like the nature of man in our day and in this day, he turns them away, but they come back. And the people thirsted there for water. Now, I don't know, and some of you that are more studied may know more directly than me, but I think they left him alone for a while. But see, the problem didn't go away. You know, they may have had a little stash from along the way, a little maybe enough for their water their animals, give a little bit to the children, a little sip or two from themselves. And Moses said, let them just wait for a while. He said, that, you know, the Lord's still here. But then they come back. And you know what I've found? The flesh, if it's not immediately gratified, it will come back. It comes back, and it comes back, and it comes back. And so we find that they do. And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us with and our children and our cattle with thirst? Now, I want you to see, it didn't say they murmured to Moses. They murmured against Moses. In other words, it wasn't they said, now Moses, we're still thirsty. We hadn't said it in a day or two, but we're still thirsty. They began to say, well, you know, I think old Brother Dan's starting to slip. And then they'd run over here and say, did you see how he fumbled around last week? Something's not right. You know, they didn't have the courage and the brass and the bravery to say, listen, and just go to him. And you know, that's a church in trouble today. Listen, when you get to the point you're murmuring against God's man, you have a real problem. You're already in a place where you don't need to be. And so instead of having the courage and the bravery to say, go back to him, because he already kind of put them in their place, they begin to murmur about him. They begin to say, hey, listen, there's something wrong with this situation. Verse 4, and Moses cried unto the Lord and said, what shall I do unto this people? Now, many times I've read this passage and I never got this thing. He said, what shall I do unto this people? What am I going to do to them? It would be the modern way we'd say it. Now, pastors, do we not all get in that place sometimes? What am I going to do to you? But see, that's not where we need to be. And we see that the Lord gives Moses some directions probably that would have been difficult to take. But listen, he was saying, I've got to do something to these people, not for them. I've got to do something unto them. And we find that Moses was on the brink of doing something himself. Verse 5, and the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherewith thou smotest the river, and take it in thy hand, and go. Now I want you to see, he gives him a command, and he doesn't tell him what he's going to do. He says, just get your stuff together and go. Now what we like to see the long picture and what the end is going to be and how it's going to all fall out. But listen, we're not privileged to that most of the time. When God says go, you just go.
Amen.
And so he didn't have God's plan, but he had the faith that he had faith in God's plan, and we just need to get to that point. You know, I really believe the Lord's churches could operate a lot better, and I mean the church people and the pastor and the missionary, we could get better if we could just get down to the point Moses was, and he says, you get these few things together and you go. You get on the ball. Verse 6, behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the chiding of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Now, what a question to have today, God's people, is the Lord among us or not? Now, I'll say this first of all, sometimes we need to ask it. Because listen, we get out there and we get modern ideas and we got modern ways of thinking, and we're going to have the baseball ministry and we're going to have the basketball ministry and all the foolishness that the world brings with it. And you know what? When you get down there, you need to ask that question, because most of the time it's going to be an emphatic no, he's not with us. You won't find that in the Word of God. You can succumb to it, but you won't find it in the Word of God. And so we see that they had the blessings of God, and they were still asking, are we where God would have us to be? That they had the thing they asked for. Are we with God? And so we see it's a very valid question. Now, we're going to read on these few verses, and we're going to see, because they did not learn the first time, they had to learn it again. You know, that was the nature of Israel. Just one good whipping wasn't enough. They had to have several, many times, on the very same subject before they totally got the understanding and knew what God meant. And so we see that this one instance of saying, I am God, here is your provision, it wasn't enough. It wasn't what they wanted. Notice in verse 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men, and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow, and I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Now I want you to notice two things. Immediately after this happens, there is an enemy that attacks. You keep questioning your pastor. You keep questioning the will of God. And you know, we always want to equate the blessings of God with monetary blessings. Listen, that is not true. You will never find that supported by this book anywhere you fold it open. You will not find that ever validated. But because we're flesh, that's what we want to believe. But I want you to see, he said, that immediately after this questioning, there was an enemy that came on the scene. And anytime we question God or His Word, and frequently anytime we question His man, the enemy's coming. But notice they had not moved their camp. They were still in Rephidim. But the enemy came to them. And that's exactly what happens with us many times. And so we see he's open to this. Then in verse 9, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose you out men and go out. Simple advice, wasn't it? Now you remember later on, and you kind of have to get where you know where you're at, how they were going to fight. In the days of Joshua, there was a certain age limit, like you're eligible for the draft in the United States. There was an age limit on when you could fight. This was prior to that. It had not been instituted yet. He says, you just choose you out some men. You know what? I believe when old Joshua did that, he said, well, you and you. And he just went back. Because you know what? He didn't need the strongest and the youngest. He didn't need the ones in the best health, because God was going to use whatever he chose to use. So it wasn't the natural, what would become the traditional way for Israel to choose its army. It was simply on the hand of God. Is that not election? Is that not just choosing out, say, this and this and this one is mine? And then God used them for His glory and His honor. And so we see that very clearly. He says, now Joshua, go choose them. Then he says, go fight Amalek. Pretty tall order, isn't it? So you choose out just a handful of people. Notice he did not say all. He chose out some.
And he says, you go fight against Amalek.
Now, see, we're called to that today, and we don't want to do it, but we're to still be in the fight. We're still to be out there on the front line. You know, we get discouraged and we get down and out, but I'm just simple enough to believe, listen, if the last elect person was saved, we'd done be out of here. We've got, he says, go unto you all the world and preach. That is still given us to this day. We have no point to give up, but often we do. Often we do say, hey, it's too late in the game. And so he just went and picked out a few men, and the plan was simply to fight. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Now notice Moses' portion of the plan was simply this. I'm going to take the rod with me. I'm going to stand on the hill. That was his plan. Now, I want you to see the only really thing significant about the rod is that he had divided the waters with it and that he had got the water from the rock with it by the power of God. But did you ever wonder what the rod really was? He'd had it since he was on the backside of the desert. It was his shepherd's rod. It was just a daily tool that he used. It would be just like a stethoscope to me. It would be something that I use in my air. It wasn't nothing glorious about it. And he says, I'm going to take the rod up there with me. Now, listen, preaching man, you don't get too far from your rod. Don't you make up a bunch of stuff on your own and present it as the gospel. Every time that's ever been tried, problems just come from it. And so, don't you get too far from this book. He says, I'm going to take it with me. I'm going to take the rod with me, and we'll see what God might do. I love verse 10. So Joshua did as Moses said to him. How'd you like to have about 50 in the church like that? Joshua just said, okay. And he went and done it. He went and got the individuals. He chose them out, and he went and did as he was told to do. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Now I want you to see, we have the armies down there, and they're going at battle. And we have Moses and only two individuals willing to go with him. You know, that sounds like visitation at New Testament Baptist Church. Only two people ready to stand in the gap. Only two people willing to do what they had been called to do. Now, I want you to see the individuals. One of them we know, Aaron, Moses' brother. He was what was given him when he says, you know, Lord, I can't speak. I don't have any use of language. I'm slow of speech. And he says, well, you got Aaron. Go on and do it anyway. And then the other one is this seemingly unknown person, and you other preachers may know, already knew this, but I had to study it out myself, is this man named Hur. I want you to turn with me, and we'll see his identity, because it becomes a very important thing when you see everything in it. But go with me to 1 Chronicles. Wait, I'm sorry. Let me... I'm sorry. 1 Chronicles chapter 2. 1 Chronicles chapter 2. And we'll find the identity of this individual. 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 19. 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 19, the Bible says, And when Azubah was dead, Caleb took unto him Ephrath, which bare him Hur. And Hur begat Uri, and Uri begat Bezalel. Now, I want you to see, the only reason I read that was to show you that this man, Hur, or this boy, Hur, or whoever, came from Caleb. That is the very, there's only two characters in the Bible named Hur, and this is one of them, and I really feel like this to be the accurate one, just by time sense, if nothing else. And he came from the line of Caleb. Now listen, men and ladies too, listen, how we deport ourselves and how we present ourselves impacts our children. Now, we don't know when this first wife passed away and he married again and had this, but this could have been a child. Aaron was there. And we find him there, and then we find her from a second wife, which could easily have been a 12 or 14 year old boy. It did not have to be an adult person. Listen, we've got it in our minds, listen, that you have to be 25 and have all this to happen in your life, and then you'll be a good witness. Listen, God used children. God uses whom he will. God will do what he will when he will. So we see these two individuals, probably a young man or a boy, and Aaron, who was Moses' older brother. By this point, Moses was probably at least 81 or 2. And then we have a 5-year-old brother who was 80, probably 87 by this point. So we have an old man and a young boy planning to help God's man in a time when he needed it. Sounds like a plan, don't it? Sounds like something God would get behind. Listen, we need that today. All this bickering that was going on about the water, all this running around and spreading rumors about the pastor. Listen, it needs to stop, and we just need to get behind God's man and support him. That's where we need to be. That's what needs to be done. And so we find, it probably wouldn't have been the ones they picked, but he had an old man and a boy to help him out. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. Now, what do you suppose he held up his hand? What do you think was in it? It was the rod. He held up his hand, and we'd see old Jacob and them getting close. But I don't know if you've known many 83-year-old people, but I have had known plenty of them in my life. And it don't take them long for this to get tired, especially when you have something as big as a rod in it. And so he'd go at it a while, and then old Moses would begin to do this. And then the other army would begin to come in, and he'd get the strength, and he'd bring it back up. Listen, you know, we need to be that kind of people. Listen, first of all, we don't ever let the rod go down. But listen, if you have a preacher that's 80-some-odd year old, you need to shore him up. And I don't just mean holding his arm up. You need to shore that man up with prayer. You need to put him before the Lord. You need to say, listen, brother, is there anything I can do? Can I take you to get some groceries? Can I do something at your house for you? Listen, we've left that as Baptist people. We write that check off and we think, well, that's all they need for another. But we had a boy and an old man that was his brother to stand and help him out when no one else would. Now, I have a brother that's older than me, which is about the same space difference between Moses and Aaron. And listen, I'd have a hard time to believe James Dale would come and hold my arm up. I love him to death. He's my brother. But I don't believe he'd be there. Now, the point is, would you be there for him as well? Do you have that? Are you given that way? And Moses' hands were, and it came to pass, verse 11, Moses held up his hand, and Israel prevailed, and when he let it down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him. So he's doing this now. You know why I believe this one right arm, I guess Moses was right-handed. Listen, and ladies, you know this better than me. When you hold a broom this way for a long, long time, this arm is going to wear out. And so by verse 12, he's doing this. Give himself a little bit of, you know, a little bit of a relief on this side. He's holding up his rod like this. But every once in a while, being an 82, 83-year-old man, he begins to do this again. And so he brings them back up, and the battle's still going on. He's holding his hands up. And you know, I believe old Aaron and Hur was saying, listen, what can we do for him more? He's wearing out. And they wanted their arms to be up. They wanted the victory. They wanted something better. And maybe, I don't know, it might have been Aaron and it might have been Hur. He said, listen, let's at least let him sit down. And they found something, and they set him down. And now we at least have this. Listen, you need to be the kind of person that would set your pastor down, that you'd give him the comfort and the support that he needs when he needs it.
Amen.
Listen, we've gotten away from that, haven't we?
That's right.
We've gotten used to the old checkbook theology and think all they need is a place to live and something to get food with. God help us. But we're there, ain't we? We need some members that shove that rock up under and say, hey, brother, you sit down for a few minutes. I appreciate what you're doing. I appreciate how the battle's going. I appreciate that you're still at 83 years old doing this for God. Let me give you a place to sit.
Yeah.
But do we do it? Do we really do it? You know what I found in pastoring? Sometimes just a phone call from a member will be the rock that I need. Just somebody call and say, and listen, when you pastor your family, it's a whole different thing. Brother Dan could tell you that from this and when he was in Chicago. Pastoring your family is hard. Because you know what you got to do and you know you got to live with it when you get home. You know what I'm saying? And so many times, I'm looking to what's literally almost my whole family, any kind of pastoral support, and I don't mean financial again, come from my family. And you know, it's a blessed thing. About 3, 4, or 5 weeks ago now, I had another seizure, the second seizure I had since my surgery. They had taken me off quite a bit of my medicine for other reasons, and the result was a seizure. And I was over, and you know how you are. If your flesh is different than mine, tell me about it on my way out. But I was really discouraged. I mean, I was like, what is the point of keeping this up? And if you ain't got there, you will.
Yeah.
And so I was in my office at work doing work and, you know, thinking, well, what's going to be next? My daddy-in-law has an old, it's probably about 78, 79, Isuzu pickup. Everybody in town knows it because he's had it since me and Donna married. And I sat there in my office and I heard something. I looked out and that old truck went by and it circled back around and pulled into the parking lot. And he came in and, it's unusual. He always calls me Larry because, I've been in the family. And he came in and he said, hey, Pastor. See, he came for a different reason. He came and said, listen, this is going to be okay. Whatever the Lord's will is, this is going to be fine. He put a stone under me.
Amen. 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 Yeah. Amen.
We need that. Your pastor needs it. I need it. Every pastor under the sound of my voice, you need that occasionally.
That's right. Exactly right.
And you members, you remember that they need it.
Amen.
You remember that they need it. Make yourself available.
Yes.
You know, Aaron and Moses didn't always see eye to eye. Well, Miriam would get involved occasionally too.
Yeah.
But listen, when Aaron needed him, he was there.
Yeah.
And we find that as well here. And so we find Aaron and her getting him a rock to sit on. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands. The one on the other side, the one on the one side, and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady under the going down of the sun. You know what? It's a blessed thing. They give him a place to sit on. And I want to say, it wasn't nothing special. But they gave him a rock to sit on. And then they came around. And old Moses was still doing this. He had that rod across there. 83-year-old arms. And little Hur said, listen, we'll do it like this.
Yeah.
And then his 87-year-old brother went around on the other side and held up that side. That's where we need to be.
Amen.
I don't care if you're a pastor.
Amen.
Or if you're a member, that's where you need to be. This man needs your prayer and support. Listen, we need to get away from, we need to get out of the box. Listen, we've been way too long thinking, we come down, we preach, if God don't move, it's His fault. We need to start holding up some hands.
That's right.
Now listen, if your pastor's not holding up his hands, then you do have a problem.
Yeah.
But if he's making an effort, listen, you get behind him. You fulfill him. Then lastly, pastors, I want you to see that in the 12th verse it says, and they held it to the going down of the sun. Man, what a blessing to check out in that way. When the going, you know, I trust the Lord's coming. It seems like this whole theme has been on the second return of Christ, and I trust He's coming. But listen, we just don't know that. I may be the 83-year-old pastor to come to someday to pastor at New Testament Baptist Church. And I need me and Aaron and a herd to come around to stand me up to the going down of the sun. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
It may be that I live to be that one. Brother Don Titus, that was here for so long. Listen, I respect this church. Y'all are with him to the going down of the sun. Hey, and I'm not bragging on you. I'm not telling you I get a pat on the back. But it speaks well of you.
Amen.
It speaks well of you. Amen. Then notice in verse 13. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Now I want you to notice two things. The victory, if you count it that way, it was a great victory. But the word says they were discomfited. You know, that's not a blow them away victory. Old brother Clyde, a veteran, he knows more about this than me, but you want them more than to discomfit them. Because listen, they did win, and Amalek did go away. But they weren't defeated. Now, with that said, listen, you know, you'll wake up tomorrow with the same set of problems you had today, and probably one added to it. Your pastor probably be the same way. He'll have everything that he had today and about two or three more added tomorrow.
That's right.
And what does that say? Well, he needs another Aaron and he needs another Hur somewhere tomorrow to do the same thing that Aaron and Hur did today. And you need to be that person. You need to be that individual. You need to have the willingness. Listen, I'll tell you what, we get to the point where all we want the pastor to do is clock in and clock out. You know what I'm saying? Don't you get onto this topic. That begins to affect me. And so don't you get on that topic and you preach this, this, and this. You know what I do with the girls at work? I run a home health agency. I have a list of people they are to see. And if we're using extra people especially, I'll write out the nurse's name and I'll list the people that she's to see and I'll hand it to her. Now, we like preaching like that if we're not real careful. You know what I'm saying? You can preach on the church as long as I'm in. You can preach on separation as long as I agree with you. You see what I'm saying? We want to give him a list. Listen, don't do that. You let him do what God would seem fit, and you just simply hold his arms up.
Amen.
You simply hold his arms up, and God will bless us greatly. And so we see the victory, and I want you to see sadly in verse 14 that it was to be written down as a memorial and to be rehearsed in the ears of who? Joshua. You know what? That's singular. And the reason why? Joshua was getting the victory, and he's the only one, him and Caleb, Hur's father, that would ever know about it. Because the reason, that whole generation had to die off.
Right.
You see? And you wonder why this happens in your life and why that happens in your life. Listen, it may be for one instance. It may be for one thing that comes along, and the whole thing was so that Joshua and Caleb would have a story to tell. That they could say, this and this God did for us back way,
Amen.
Way back then.
Amen.
And that's exactly many times why instances like that happen in our life. Verse 15, and Moses built an altar, and he called the name of it Jehovah Nissi, and he said, because the Lord have sworn that the Lord will give war with Amalek from generation to generation. Now, verse 16 kind of confirms what I said, because it didn't say that they were out of the picture, that they would have war from then on, from generation to generation. Listen, we need to support our pastors. We need to be standing in the gap for them. You need to take this man and tell him how much you love him. You need to tell him how much you appreciate him. There's a host of pastors here. There's a host of members with them. And listen, if your pastor's here, you need to be their Aaron. You need to be their Her, and you let them know how much you truly appreciate them. Brother. Amen.